Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos is daf Nun Gimel. We find ourselves on Nun Beis Amud Beis, where towards the top of the Amud, I thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learning Zecher Nishma Solos Ben Zaltzman. In the middle, or I should say towards the end of the fifth parak, hopefully this morning we're going to finish the fifth parak. Fifth parak, short parak, but highly challenging, as it discusses what are the ramifications of Maimer and Get in the context of Yibum. We know that that when they presented with a Yibum scenario, so you can either do the mitzvah of Yibum, which is B.O., or you could do the mitzvah or matir of Chalitza to release her. But as we spent a lot of time discussing over the last couple of days, there's also two actions which midrabbanan have effectiveness, and that is get or mimer. Mimer was legislated by the Chachamim in the world of Yibum, so that if a man is mekadesh a woman, when his mekadesh is yivama, so that kedusha now creates some sort of ishus, to create some sort of bond. To what degree? So that's the Gemara discussed in the previous daf. That's a machlokus between Tanaim. And Rav Yochanan, if you remember, on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Rav Yochanan strung together four Tanaim who say that Maimer is Kona Kinyan Gamor, meaning Maimer is super significant. It really creates a bond between Yavam and Yavama. We don't pass like them. We say that Maimer is a Kinyan Darabanan. It creates status, but not a full status, not a full Kinyan Daraisa. As far as Get is concerned, so as the Gemara mentioned in the beginning of the Perek, going to Nun Amud Beis, so the Gemara says that the Chachamim made a Gzeira, that because Get in general is effective, so even in the context of Yibum, where Get is not the way to release, or the way to release is Chalitza, but still, the Chachamim gave Get a certain Koachi power. What we've been discussing at the end of yesterday's daf, and we're going to continue a little bit more today, is what if you give her a Get that's not 100% valid? In general, it's not 100% valid. Yesterday we mentioned very briefly the concept of Reacha Get, that sometimes the Get is not effective, but there's still literally a smell. There's a smell to the Get. Right, and that means that something has a Reacha Get, even though she's not officially divorced, but she has the status of being a divorced woman. She can't marry a Kohen. Okay, Gemara gave us an example of that yesterday. I'm not going to go over it again right now. And so what if you gave her such... What if the Yavam gave his Yavama such a get? Meaning a get which is not a legitimate get, it's an inferior get. In general, it doesn't work, but would it work? Does the Gzeira D'Rabbanan of get by Yibum even include a questionable get? That was the question the Gemara raised yesterday. The Gemara didn't come up to a clear resolution. Take it was the Gemara's answer. that's the short summary of yesterday. We're in the Gemara right now. We're starting from the top of the Amud with the words Bai Rav Chananya. Four lines from the top of the Amud. Let's say he writes a get for his wife, but he writes it for the Zika, not for the Mimer. Okay. What? Right? Yeah. Okay. What? Meaning that as we know, when a man affects Kiddushin with his Yavama, so now what does that mean? It means that before he affected Kiddushin, it means that there was already a Zika. There was already a connection between him and the Yavama. Okay? Now again, one of the undercurrents of the entire Masechta, what we've been dealing with for the last 50-some-odd blot, is whether there is Zika or ain't Zika, whether there is or there isn't a Zika. Okay, but right now, let's assume there is a Zika, and Zika basically is the idea that they're connected. Already the Yavama and Yavama are connected. And he does Mimer, okay, which is a Kedushin. And so now, we're going to see this twice today, so get ready because it's great. It's just a great way to look at Mimer. But the Gemara is going to put it in the context of the following scenario. Let's say he does Mimer to his wife, to his Yavama. Let's say he does Mimer to his Yavama, and then afterwards he writes a get. He writes a get for the Zika, but not for the Mimer. Or he writes again for the Mimer, but not for the Zika. Okay? And now I know that's... I know it's strange. Yeah, no. And let's just assume that there's an ability to designate why he's writing a get, although I understood that there's generally a standard formula for how the get is written. But okay, let's just work with the assumption, because you'll see exactly what the Gemara is driving at with this question. Mahu. Maimer ilave zika karami vahavale kimegarish chati isha vahamegarish chati isha loasa velo klom odoma halachudekai vahalachudekai. Okay, here we go. We're going to hear this twice today, this kind of formulation of questions. So let's hear it once, and then later this morning we're going to hear it again. When a man does maimer to zivama, okay, so that means already that there's a connection, even before he did anything. That's called a zika. And then on top of that, he does maimer. Okay, does maimer either A, reinforces zika, meaning all that maimer is doing is taking a zika, a bond that already exists, and just simply strengthens it and reinforces it. And all he's doing, I mean, not all, it's significant, but all he's doing is just taking the bond and accentuating it by just simply saying, hey, I do want to marry you, and I'm going to. And that's what the maimer is accomplishing. And so therefore, really what the maimer is that instead of, for those of you who remember your chemistry days, instead of making a single bond, and it's now a double bond. But it's really just building on the same connection. Okay. Or, no, maimer really is an entirely different avenue. Meaning Zika is one avenue in which you're connected to her, and by doing maimer to her, you are now creating a separate connection to her. But it's not a reinforcement of the... It's not a reinforcement... Oh, good. Good, I understood. So we're going to see this twice this morning. So here we go, the Gemara says, nafkamina number one is our scenario. Now again, it's not something that's... I mean, can't imagine it's going to be that practical, but if somebody wrote a get that specified, I'm divorcing you from either A, the Zika, or I'm divorcing you from either B, the Mimer. Okay, and he specifies that in the get. So the Gemara says that's exactly now how it's going to play out. If Mimer is nothing but a reinforcement of the Zika, and Mimer is there just there to consolidate the Zika, to strengthen it, so then what did he do? So really he did nothing. The Gemara's terminology is, I'm just going to reread the Gemara. So, it's like you're divorcing half a woman, right? Which the Gemara points out is nothing.
Just
give me a moment. That's nothing. Or no. Maybe what Mimer is really a totally different path. It's a totally separate, it's separate and segregated from the Zika. And so therefore, that would mean then that such a get should have a level of effectiveness because it's addressing one of the ways that you're related to her, that you're connected to her. And so therefore, that get has validity to it and therefore can't be... She is now, to a certain degree, not divorced, but the get is effective. And that means then that you started the severance process and that means now that the only thing left is chalitza.
But the whole fundamental thing behind the get is that the get causes severance and frees her to marry anybody besides this guy.
Correct. Agreed. Keep in mind.
But the thing is, we're saying there's a partial get. That
right.
Doesn't really make sense.
I understand that. But keep in mind, though. In other words, let's frame this whole discussion. We're not talking about get between husband and wife. We're talking about get between Yavam and Yavama. And what the Gemara now wants to know is, look, get is not going to create a severance in Yavam and Yavama. But if the get does enough where it starts the severance process, so that means that the get now has significance, and that's going to lead to chalitza. So what the Gemara now here is saying is that if Maimer and Zika are two separate avenues in which they're connected, and the get is dissolving one of those avenues, that means that the get had a certain level of effectiveness. Obviously, not to create an actual severance between him and her, but now to start the chalitza process. It's the beginning of chalitza. I understand. It's right. V'tishleim ed'rava d'amar rava nasan gila ma'amaro hutra tzarasa l'ra. I'm sorry, hutra tzarasa. So the Gemara says, okay, but you remember? Now, to me, the answer, well, I kind of do. But it's going back 20 blind in the Masechta, and Rava says that if a man had the get specifically designated for the mimer, meaning what the man does is he does mimer to one of the yavamas, and then he says, you know what? I thought it through. I'd rather go to a different widow, not her. In other words, his brother died leaving more than one wife. So he, after having done Mimer, can he undo the Mimer? Rava said, yeah, he can. Rava said he can write a get specific to the Mimer, which all it's going to do is it's not going to affect the Zika at all. It's just going to undo the Mimer, giving him the ability to marry another one of the widows.
It's a limited get.
So it comes out that according to Rava, obviously, there are two avenues. Meaning get and, I'm sorry, Mimer and Zika are actually two separate avenues connecting the two, and he can do the Mimer and undo the Mimer, and have it not affect the Zika whatsoever. So the Gemara says, you're right, L'Rava Pshita Le L'Rav Chananya Mi Ba'ile. Good. For Rava, it was obvious, meaning he wouldn't even entertain the question, because he would know. He believes, firmly believes, that Zika and Mimer are two separate avenues connecting the husband and wife.
So according to this, if the guy had a mimer, right, and wrote a get for the mimer, right?
Yeah.
So does his status revert to the...
We'll go back...
And if he's got another brother, the other brother could actually do a yibum to this woman?
Exactly correct. Meaning we can go back to the drawing board. Back to the drawing board, and we can undo the whole thing. So the Gemara says, good, that's Rava. But that Rav Chananya doesn't even start with the assumption of Rava, and Rav Chananya actually is unclear whether or not Mimer is an overlap, it's a reinforcement of the Zika, or if it's a totally separate avenue. My take with the Gemara says he, meaning Rav Chananya, leaves the question unresolved. Chalos Vasa Mimer, going on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, you remember, okay? The Mishnah was not that long ago. Here, it's fair for me to argue that you should remember. The Mishnah, going back to Nun, had two halves to the Mishnah, Nun Amad Alf and Nun Amad Beis. Nun Amad Alf was talking about a one-on-one, one Yavam, one Yavama. And then Nun Amad Beis talks about where there are multiples, either multiple Yavamot or multiple Yavamim. Okay, so we are right now still on Nun Amad Aleph. We're talking about the part of the Mishnah that deals with one Yavam, one Yavama. The Mishnah says, Chalas Vasa Maimer. So to the Yavama, first he did Chalitza Van Fal by Maimer. Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Zu Div Rabbi Akiva. Okay, a point which I may or may not have made clear in the Mishnah. We could rewind and replay the tape and see if I mentioned it. But the Gemara here makes it perfectly clear, and that is our Mishnah has to be going like Rabbi Akiva. Has to be. Because again, what's Mimer? Mimer's Kedushin, right? Remember, we said that yesterday very clearly. Mimer is Kedushin. And so what he did is, first he did Chalitza, and then he did Mimer. So now, let's think about this. First he did Chalitza. What does that mean now? It means that they were brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and by doing the Chalitza, now he terminated the relationship. Do they go back? Do they revert back to now in Issa Kares? No. No.
If he gets married to her.
Okay, good. So do they revert back to the Issar Kares? The answer is no. It's Kevin Shlobana Shuvlo Yibane. It's a lav. It's a negative prohibition for him to marry her. So now, if it's a negative prohibition, so let's just now move on to the next logical step. Well, if it's just a lav, and he's Mekadosh her, should the Kedushin be effective? The answer should be yes. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says is that if first he does Chalitza and then he does Mimer, the Mimer is totally ignored. Why? Why are we going to ignore the Mimer? He's Mekadesh her. Now, granted, she's a lav to him, but that's all she is. Therefore, conclusion is, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Good. It's a logical point. It takes a couple steps to get there. It's a logical point, but the Gemara just simply makes it. So I'm reviewed on my Rav Zudiv Rabbi Akiva. Damer in kedushin tofsim mechayv alav and avach chachamim marmim yeshach chalitza klum. Because if you were the chachamim, you would therefore argue that there is going to be kedushin after the chalitza. Now, granted, you shouldn't have done it. It's a lav, but that's not the point. The point is kedushin would be tofits according to the chachamim. So when you learn our Mishnah in the fifth perek, you will understand now that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, okay, let's play this through. Really, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Look at an earlier case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah describes a scenario where you gave her a get, and then afterwards you did Mimer. So you need get for the... I'm sorry, you need to give her a get and a chalitza. Rabbi Akiva, kim diyavila get me mahani ba Mimer. According to Rabbi Akiva, you give her a get. Can Mimer work after you gave her a get? Now, the presumption of the Gemara right now is that according to Rabbi Akiva, once you give her a get, that's it, divorced. Now, we know already, the assumption is not going to be correct. But why... No, but again, it's a get in the context of Yibum. It doesn't do anything. But for a moment, the Gemara is going to think that, that according to Rabbi Akiva, a get will actually create severance between a Yavam and Yavama. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. It'll create an Isser in the Torah, just by him giving her a get. V'atayin, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Rabbi Kiva Amar, minayin lanas to get leivimto. A man gives a get to his yivama. Shenesra lo v'lamis. They're forbidden. And why? Pasuk shenemar lo yuchabala rishon asher shalcha. Once the husband has sent her away, giving her a get is either akin to or actual sending her away. Acher shiluach. So Amar Ravashi, get yivama midrabanu kras machtaba ama. So the Ravashi quickly corrects, no. Even though Rabbi Kiva is quoting a drasha, and even so, even though it sounds like he's making an actual drasha, it's not an actual drasha, it's an asmachta. The Torah is only describing chalitza. The fact that he gives her a get, and that begins a severance process, but that is a din derabanan, as the Gemara said in the beginning of the perek, and even Rabbi Kiva subscribes to that idea, and therefore, no kasha. What was the kasha? He gave her a get, followed then by a mimer. The mimer is effective afterwards. Right, even Rabbi Kiva would subscribe to that idea. Because the get min haTorah doesn't do anything. It's a din derabanan. And that's why the mimer afterwards has an effect. Tanya Amihach, the Gemara supports this with a brace as well. I'm a Rabbi. Eina dvarim alalu amorim ela ladiv Rabbi Kiva shayi ose chalutza kereva. Rabbi says, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, these words are following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva because Rabbi Kiva views the chalutza as an erva. But the Chachamim would obviously disagree. And then even though the man did chalitza to his Yavama, still afterwards there will be an effectiveness to Mimer, / Kiddushin. The Ani Omer, now this is Rebbe talking. Rebbe says, I have a split decision. Look, let's go to the two extremes and then let's do Rebbe. The two extremes are, number one, on one hand you have Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva says that whatever you do after chalitza is nothing. Why? Because Rebbe Akiva says that once you do chalitza, there's a lav in the Torah. Once there's a lav in the Torah, there cannot be tfisas kedushin. That is the opinion of Rebbe Akiva. Good. That's on one side of the aisle. On the other side of the aisle is the chachamim. The chachamim say, I know it's a lav, but we are of the opinion that there is tfisas kedushin by lav. So therefore, his mekadosher, his chalutza, the kedushin is effective. He violated a lav in the Torah, but the kedushin is effective. That's the chachamim. And Rebbe says, I'm in the middle. Where? If a man is mekadosher's chalutza, it depends why he was mekadosher. If he was mekadosher l'shem ishus, so works. If it was mekadosher l'shem yibum, it doesn't work. Okay. Now,
once he's done chalitza,
okay, so let's see. The Gemara is going to give no less than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 explanations of Rebbe. So let's go through them one by one. Okay. So we have now three opinions. The two extremes are easy to understand, and it's Rebbe's position, which is going to be difficult to understand. The two extremes are Rebbe Kiva and the Chachamim. Rebbe Kiva, no Tvisas Kedushin. The Chachamim say, yes, Tvisas Kedushin. And Rebbe says, it depends how you are a Mekadosher. How do we understand Rebbe? Let's go now. Six ways to understand it. I don't know if we're going to count number one. Meaning, we'll learn it, obviously, but it may not count for reasons which we're going to explain. I'm Rav Yosef, my time of the Rebbe, Asu Ka'oda B'nichse Ager. Okay, so Rav Yosef says, I'm going to explain Rebbe. And Danny, this fits in with what you just suggested. I'm going to explain Rebbe, and it's, you know what it's like? It's like working the land of the property of a convert. Okay, remember, we do this all the time in the Gemara. A convert who converts to Yiddishkeit, so he is a Kekatan Hanola Dami. He's a born again. And that means then that he has no family, he has no legal family. Mother, father, brother, sister, although biologically related, halachically have no connection to him. If he has a child, the child obviously is his child, but if he doesn't have a child, so then he is halachically on an island. When he dies, there are no yorshim. So that means then call the olam gavur, but that's not accurate. Call the olam gavur means whoever's stronger. Here it's whoever's quicker. Whoever gets to his property first and does a chazaka on the property. Chazaka over here means an action. Now, right, chazaka means one of two things. Either it's a squatter who settles on the land for 3 years, But in this case, that's not what it means. Chazak over here means does a proprietary action to the property. So he's going to acquire the property. Okay? So, the person living next door to a ger and the ger dies. Okay? Very sad. But at the same time, the light bulb goes off. And he goes over to the next person's, to his neighbor's property, and does a proprietary action. He has acquired the property. That's easy. That's simple. That's the established halacha. What if, says Rav Yosef, he works the land next door to him after the ger dies, not realizing that he was standing on the ger's property, and he's working the property, but he thinks it's his own property. In other words, he lives right next door. So he didn't realize that he was actually standing on his neighbor's property. So the action was perfect, but he had no kavana, he had no intent. Whenever you make a kinyan, there has to be intent. So what's the halacha? He didn't acquire the property. Good. Rav Yosef says that's exactly what's going on over here. I know it's a strange analogy, but that's exactly what's going on over here. When he goes over to the chalutza and he says, I want to be mekadeshu l'shem ishus, so, okay. I want to be mekadesh you l'shem yibum. Well, you just did chalitza. What are you doing? So Rav Yosef is going to try to create an analogy between these two cases. Let's see this inside. My time in the Rabbi Yasuka Demnechzeger Kusabashalohain Delo Kaneg, in the case where a man is working his neighbor's property and the neighbor was a convert who died. But he didn't realize he was standing on his neighbor's property as he had no kavana, so no kinyan. Amale Abaye Midamesh Abaye says that's really analogous to our case. It's not. In the case of the neighbor, he literally had no intention whatsoever to create any type of kinyan. But over here, when the man goes to his chalutza and says, I want to be kona you, he has an intent to be kona. He's using the wrong intent, but he has an intent to be kona. Rav Yosef says, Abaye, in continuing to challenge Rav Yosef, says, Ukani, if anything, I think it's going to be more analogous to the following. Let's say I have a convert on this side and a convert on that side. And they both died. And all I got mixed up was whose property was whose. I'm going on the person's property. I have full intent to be Kona. I just got confused who's the owner of this particular property. But my intent was to be Kona. And even though I got the names confused, but is the land available? Yes. Do I have intent to be Kona? Yes. Does the kinyan work? Yes. If anything, this would be analogous to that scenario. In other words, is he trying to be Kona her? Yes. Is the kinyan going to work? The answer should be yes. Even though he's using the wrong type of kinyan, so to say. So that was Rav Yosef's suggestion, comparing it to the neighboring convert's property. Abai says, I don't like that. The analogy is no good. So you want to call that the first explanation of Rabbi? You could, but Abaye dismisses it, Elam Abaye. So the Gemara says, okay, you dismiss a suggestion, but you got to replace it with a suggestion. So what he says to her, again, it's a chalutza. And he goes over to his chalutza. He did the chalutza to her. He goes over to her and says, I want to be mekadeshu b'maimer yevamim. With maimer. The maimer of yibum. So Rebbe Savra Maimer Ilav Zika Karami Vase Khalitza of Kasal Zika Virabana Savra Halakhudekai Vahalakhudekai Mikari Ilamala is Kashla Bamaimer Yavami Mila Mahanya Hashanami Mahane. And the Gemara goes back, and now here we go. Second time today we're gonna hear the argument of what is Maimer? Is Maimer a reinforcement of the Zika, or is Maimer a standalone form of Kiddushin? The Gemara says, here's how it would play out again, where a man goes over to his chalutza and says, hi, I know I did chalitza to you, but I want to be mekadeshu with Maimer. If all Maimer is just a reinforcement of the Zika, well, the Zika is long gone. He did chalitza to her. There's no longer a Zika. And so what is he? You can't, a reinforcement only works if you have the actual item here to reinforce. There's no Zika anymore. There's nothing to reinforce. Story's over. Maimer therefore cannot work. That would be Rebbe's understanding. That's why Rebbe would say that if it's Mekadesher with a Maimer after Chalitza, that's no good because Maimer is just a reinforcement of Zika and Zika's gone. Masha'enkin, according to the Chachamim, Maimer is a standalone form of Kiddushin. Even during Yibum, if Maimer was done, Maimer is a second path in order to make a connection between the Yavam and the Yavama. And it's not a reinforcement of the Zika. And so therefore, it works during Yibam as a separate path. It can even work after Chalitza as well. That's the Chachamim's position. So here we have now another explanation of this machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim if you're a Mekadosh or Chalitza, where Chachamim say it doesn't work and the Rebbe says it depends. If he says, sorry, so what Abaye is now offering as an explanation is that that's not necessarily true. Mimer, in other words, again, if you articulate not just Mimer, but Mimer Yibum, meaning you're saying specifically, I want to, that Mimer Yibum that exists out there, that's what I want to use in order to create a connection between me and her. If Mimer Yibum is just a reinforcement of Zika, it only works when there's a Zika. But once you do Chalitza, and once the Zika's gone, that's it. Mimer doesn't work. Okay. The penalty would be lashes. But again, that's not our meaning. It's a good question. It's a good clarification. But that's not the Gemara's point. The Gemara's point is the effectiveness of the Kedushin.
I mean, once you give Chalitza, his status as a Yavam goes away.
Yeah.
So only a Yavam can do Mimer.
Again, that's the explanation of Rebbe. Okay. Rava Amar, here we go now, explanation number two. Okay, I'm not interested in discounting Rav Yosef, but the Gemara did, so I'm going to count this now as number two. Rava Amar, Amar Lam, B'maimer, Yavam, and Kolam, Lo Pligi, D'mahanya. If he said Mimer, we are all in agreement that it works. Meaning, even if he says Mimer, Yavamim, it's going to work. And V'achar, B'maimer, Skin, can go into Amar, Lai, Skashli, B'zikas, Yavamim. Let's say he's Mekadosher, not using the method of Mimer, but he says, I want to be Mekadosher with Zika. Now again, where is the Zika now? He gave her chalitza already. Right? The Zika is dissolved. So how can we have even a discussion? Rebbe Savar Yesh Zika. Oh, the Gemara says, here's how we can have the discussion. We're on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Rebbe's of the opinion Yesh Zika. Meaning Zika's a thing. How do you like that for we're in the middle of Yavamos. We are in one of the most difficult discussions. And here I am now offering what a wonderful explanation. Zika's a thing. Okay.
But he's Chalitza.
Okay, wait.
So
just give me a moment. Let me. I understand I didn't do a great job explaining, but let's try this again. Zika's more than just a thing. Meaning Zika is a real status, a real bond connecting the Yavam and the Yavama. And so therefore, obviously, thank you. That's and you're correct, right? Before Chalitza, there was a Zika, and so therefore va'aseh Chalitza afkaseh. And so what Chalitza does is it actually breaks the Zika, and so the Zika. And so therefore, according to Rebbe, when you go over to her after the Chalitza and you say, "Hey, you know what I want to do? Tchias ameisim. There was a Zika. I killed the Zika. I would like to revive the dead. I would like to bring it back." So Rebbe would say, "You can't do that." I mean, Rebbe's position is now very simple. Now, okay, good. Now I'm talking Tchias Meisim. Now everyone understands. Now, Rebbe, you can't do that. Kadosh Baruch Hu will do Tchias Meisim, you know, in the future. But you can't. Once you take the Zika and kill it with Chalitza, you can't bring it back. Rabbanan Savri Ein Zika. And the Chachamim's position is no Ein Zika. No. There's a mitzvah, obviously. When she becomes a widow, the brother-in-law now has a mitzvah of Yibum, but there is no Zika. So, according to the Chachamim, by doing Chalitza, you didn't kill anything. There was nothing to kill. You obviously negated the mitzvah of Yibum, but there was no Zika. So Zika is just it's not a thing, it's just a term. So when you go over to her and you say after the Chalitza, hey, I'd like to marry you with that Zika. Well, the Zika wasn't something that was there and is no longer there through Chalitza. Zika is just simply an expression of, I'm going to marry you. That's all it is.
Yeah, but he can.
No, nobody. I'm going to. You'll forgive me. I'm going to correct you. He can.
After Chalitza?
Yes, it's a love. But
he shouldn't, but
he can. So he won't get the mitzvah. Okay, that is now going to be our second explanation, Rebbe and the Chachamim, predicated on the big question of the Masechta, Yeshika or Ein Zika. Explanation number three. Look, if the chalitza was 100% bona fide chalitza, what we would call a chalitza kshera. Here we go again with this idea, with this concept. So then once you do the chalitza, that's it. You've taken a zika, meaning as Rashi explains over here, we're going to assume in the Rosh Ravia's answer that everyone subscribes to zika. Everyone holds yesh zika. And so therefore, if you do a bona fide chalitza, so what you did is you now remove the zika. And if you try afterwards now to say, hey, I'd like to marry you using that zika, no, that's tchiyas ha-mesim. You can't do tchiyas ha-mesim. You can't revive the dead zika that you yourself killed with chalitza. Fine. But what if the chalitza wasn't 100%? What if the chalitza was only 50%? My numbers are obviously fabricated. But in other words, it was a chalitza psula. It was a deficient chalitza. And we go to a discussion that we had a number of times. And we go back to a discussion that the Gemara had earlier in the Masechta regarding what are going to be the ramifications of a chalitza psula. Is it effective or if it's not effective? If the chalitza psula is effective, so then you successfully killed the Zika, and then you can't resuscitate it. If the chalitza psula is not effective, again, what that exactly means, go back to what we learned earlier in the Masechta. Correct. Where there's a chalitza psula is where you can't do the mitzvah of yibum. Right. Good. So now you handed her a chalitza psula. It was a deficient chalitza. So you didn't now... So that's the machlokus between the chachamim and Rebbe. The chachamim will say, you nevertheless properly killed the zika, and therefore you can't try to go back now and marry her with the zika. Rebbe would say, that's Rebbe's position. Rebbe would say that you killed the zika, and therefore you can't marry her with the zika, because the zika's dead. But according to the Chachamim, no. If you give her chalitza psula, that doesn't totally dissolve the zika. There's still a modicum, there's still a remnant of the zika that's left. And so therefore, if you want to try to marry her afterwards using a zika, there's still something left.
The case of chalitza psula was a case where there were multiple yibamim.
Right.
And the thing was that chalitza psula dissolved the zika between this guy and the guy, but didn't dissolve the other people's zika. So right. They had to do their own chalitza.
Right.
But his was dissolved. But now you're saying your chalitza psula, his own is
dissolved. Yeah. Right. Correct.
It's not consistent.
Agree. If you take a look at Rashi, your question is good. Take a look at Rashi. Hacha chalitza psula. Meaning the Chachamim say that there is not a full Hafka. There's still something there left. But you're right. Earlier in the Masechta, we said that vis-a-vis him and her,
it was done.
The story is over. Okay, agreed. Maybe. Speculation, but it's fair speculation. Rav Ashi Amar, here we go now, answer number four. Rav Ashi Amar, Dekoli Amar, Chalitza Psula, Eina Poteres. A Chalitza Psula does not create a full separation between him and her. V'acha B'yesh Tanai B'chalitza K'mifligi Marsava, Yesh Tanai B'chalitza Marsava, Ein Tanai B'chalitza. Over here, what is the point of dispute between Rebbe and the Chachamim as to whether or not we're talking here about a regular Chalitza? But what you did is you threw a condition into the Chalitza. Okay, let me give a little context to this answer. We know that a husband gives a wife a get and he throws in a condition. As long as the condition is fulfillable, As long as the tanai is doable, so then the condition is in fact a fair condition, and it's the get will be contingent on the condition. If the condition is not doable, so then that is the get with a string attached, and you cannot give a get with a permanent string attached. Okay, that's true in the world of get. Is that also true in the world of chalitza? That's the debate that's taking place here between Rebbe and the Chachamim. What Rebbe would offer as a suggestion is that if you give a chalitza with a tanai, with a condition, a simple example would be, I'll give you the chalitza on the condition you give me $200. Okay, I know it's not nice, beyond not nice. Okay, but extortion. Okay, but again, he throws a condition into the chalitza. Is the condition going to be effective? In other words, do we recognize the tanai in the world of chalitza? The Gemara says that's the machlokas. If the answer is yes, so then that means then that the chalitza will only be effective once the condition is satisfied. Until that point in time, the chalitza is still pending. Therefore, there's still a zika. Therefore, he can marry her using terminology like zika. If, however, we do not recognize the tanai in chalitza, and chalitza just simply works with or without the condition, even if condition's made, we just simply ignore the condition and look at the chalitza, so then the story's over. Then they are totally separated. Then he cannot marry her using a zika because the zika no longer exists. Good.
I think chalitza is an act, whereas get is a document that could be conditional. Chalitza is an act that, you're going to perform chalitza.
The Gemara's, look, we're going to discuss it later in the Masechta, this idea of tanai by chalitza. Okay. Anyway, we'll come back to it later. Ravina Amar Dukol Yama Yishnai Bechalitza V'Acha B'Tanai Kafuk Amiflagi. And now let's go. One last explanation of the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Again, the Chachamim say that a man goes over to a chalutz and tries to marry her. It's simply, according to the Chachamim, it simply will work. Because again, she's a lav. So it works. And Rebbe says, no, it depends how you're going in there. If you're going in there through Kedushin, fine. If you're going in there through Yibum, not fine. Why? How do we understand Rebbe? So now the final explanation, the fifth and final explanation, or if you want to count Rav Yosef, the sixth and final explanation. No, the condition works by chalitza v'acha, b'tanai kafel. Whether or not the condition has to be doubled. When we get to the Masechta and Kedushin, we will learn together that in order for a condition to be a successful condition, to be a proper tanai, you have to say the positive, you have to say the negative. If I do this, then this will happen. If I don't do this, then this will happen. Where do the rules of tanai come from? B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven. As we were crossing the Yarden, the Shvatim of Gad and Reuven went over to Moshe and said, you know, it's nice over here. Eivor HaYarden, on what was called the Transjordan. We like it. We'd like to stay. I'd like to annex it to Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, but here's the condition. If you go in with us in Eretz Yisrael and help us conquer, so then you're going to get it. But if you don't go in with us, so then you're not going to get it. Okay, so the laws of Tanai are learned from Gan Ruvain, and maybe the machlokas over here is whether or not you need a Tanai kafel. It's very easy to understand the side that you need a Tanai kafel. I mean, that's what Gan Ruvain needed. What's the position that you don't need a Tanai kafel? The Gemara over here doesn't explain, neither does Rashi. I'm sure if I were to research it more, I would understand. But for the time being, that's the Gemara says, that's the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. So that means then, according to Rebbe, the Tanai has to be a Tanai kafel. If it's not a Tanai kafel, so then it's not going to be a Tanai, and therefore the Chalitza was simply good, period. And that means then that there's nothing left to the Zika.
It's not a machlokas in Yivum, it's a machlokas
in general, correct. Yeah, it's a general machlokas. Okay. Very good. All right. So that was, that was a lot. A Gemara is discussing six different ways to understand Rebbe versus the Chachamim. Again, the Chachamim's position is the most straightforward. And that is that when a man does Chalitza to his Yavama, they are now prohibited to one another, not through Nisr Kares, but only through a lav. And if he does Kedushin afterwards, the Kedushin is effective. He shouldn't, but it works. And Rebbe Kiva, on the other hand, says that there's no effectiveness because Rebbe Kiva says that even a lav has no Tzvisas Kedushin. And what the Gemara spent the last nearly amud discussing is that position of Rebbe. If he goes in afterwards with a regular Kedushin, it works, like the Chachamim. If he tries to go in through Yibum, it doesn't work. Why? Six explanations of the Gemara in terms of why that should be. Let's go on. In the Gemara, we are in Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. At the two dots, Chalas Vasa Maimar Vnasan Geru Baal. What if you do Chalitz and afterwards you try a whole bunch of things? Oh, the Mishnah doesn't mean that you tried all three. The Mishnah just simply means if you do anything after Chalitza, it doesn't work. Chalas, and then afterwards you do Maimer, or you give her a get, or you had bia with her. So, v'nisni nami einachar bia klom. We raised this question when we learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Chalitza followed by anything, and the Mishnah said, bia followed by anything. Because remember, the Mishnah is an algorithm. It goes over every scenario. So, and then the Mishnah says, you know, einachar chalitza klom. There's nothing after chalitza. Why doesn't the Mishnah also say einachar bia klom? Right, that should have been in the Mishnah. So, good question. Abayi v'Rava d'amar tabayi tini einachar bia klom. So Rabbi and Rava say, okay, next time you learn the Mishnah, the fifth paragraph of Yevamos, so this is how you should learn the Mishnah, Ein Acher Bi'aklum, meaning that should be incorporated into the Mishnah. But Tana didn't. Now, obviously, our Tana didn't. Meaning, our Tana didn't include it. Why not? So, I tell you, because our Tana is of the opinion that her release is better. Now, the Gemara doesn't spell this out, and neither does Rashi. I'm suggesting, this is just me suggesting, maybe because our Mishnah is once again tipping its cap to the position of Abba Shaul, that given the choice between Yibam and Chalitza, you should do Chalitza over Yibam. Maybe that's why. unclear why the Mishnah is favoring Chalitza over Yibam, but I'm offering a simple suggestion. Now, remember what our Mishnah said? That on the second half of the Mishnah where we talk about there are multiples, meaning one Yivama to two Yivamas, or two Yevamim to one Yevama, so the Mishnah says, in any one of those scenarios, we can go through all 16 permutations. Chalitza to one, get to another. Get to one, Mimer to another, etc., etc. And there are four action points, two participants, four times four, 16. 16 different permutations. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah doesn't subscribe to the viewpoint of Ben Azai. Second day in a row, we're hearing the opinion of Ben Azai. So if you remember from yesterday, good. And if not, we get to review it again. In the case of where there are two Yevamim, meaning two surviving brothers and one widow, so then he says, Mimer can be done after Mimer. If one of the brothers does Mimer, followed by the other brother doing Mimer, obviously to the same Yevama, that's effective. Now when I say effective, what does that mean? Obviously, she can't be married to both. It simply means that she has now a status of connection with both of them. They're both going to be prohibited to her relatives. Good. But in Maimer, Chamaimer, B'shtei Yevamos V'Yavam Echad. But if it's two Yevamot and one Yavam, so then in Maimer, Chamaimer. That's Benazai's position. Obviously, Benazai doesn't agree with our Mishnah. Now, how do you understand Benazai? So you remember yesterday, we saw a Rashi on the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Rashi says that every man is given the Koach Maimer. Meaning every surviving brother has a koach maimer, but the woman herself can. But one man. Let's do it that way. But one man cannot maimer two separate widows. Doesn't work that way according to Ben Azai. Fine, our Mishnah doesn't subscribe to that viewpoint. Keitza maimer lezu v'chule, lema misayele l'shmuel. Okay. We now move on to the next series of cases in the Mishnah, the multiple cases, where it's one Yavam and two Yavamas. So, Lema Mesayel Shmuel, Damer Shmuel, Chalos Labalas Maimer, Lo Niftur Atzarasa. So, first of all, what does our Mishnah seem to do? Favor Shmuel's position. What does Shmuel say? Shmuel says that if there are two widows, and one Chalitza is better than the other is called an inferior Chalitza, and the Chalitza done with the inferior will not release the better the other widow, otherwise known as Chalitza Psula. Why? Because our Mishnah says if you do Mimer to one and you give a you do Mimer to one and you do Chalitza to another, so it's right, that would be a Chalitza Psula to the Baal HaMaimer, because you have to also give her a get. And so therefore, the Chalitza done to the better one, better meaning, she is perfectly eligible for Chalitza, is going to release the inferior one. Now, what the Mishnah seems to be indicating is that had you done Maimer to the, sorry, had you done Chalitza to the Baal HaMaimer, that wouldn't release the Chalitza. Or I should say better, the other one. But and I'm sorry, let's just go on in the Gemara. Utiyufta de Rav Yosef. And also, by the way, our Mishnah seems to be challenging Rav Yosef. Remember what we learned by Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef, we saw him already a couple times in the Masechta. Rav Yosef says, if somebody needs your water, don't spill it. Right? And that was an analogy. And that means then that if you have two women, one of them is already disqualified to Kahuna, and the other one is not, So who should you do chalitza to? Do the one who's already disqualified to the kahuna. Don't ruin a woman's chance to marry a kohen if you don't have to. Great. That was Rav Yosef's understanding of a previous Mishnah that we did. What does our Mishnah say? You did Maimer to one. You now, and there are two widows. And now you need to do chalitza. Well, which one are you going to do chalitza to? Well, the Mishnah says do it to the other one. According to Rav Yosef, why? Go to the Balas on Maimer. Because anyway you're going to have to give her a get. And anyway she's going to be disqualified to kahuna. Why should you go to the other one? Our Mishnah seems to be challenging Rav Yosef. The Gemara answers both of these questions. Mi ketani choletz, chalatz ketani diavad. Yeah. Answer is very obvious. That the Mishnah is an algorithm. I know I keep saying that, but it's true. Meaning the Mishnah is not telling us what you should do. The Mishnah is just simply going over every permutation of here's what happens if the following were to occur. If he did Maimer to one and Chalitza to another, so then. If then. That's the Mishnah. So if you were to stop after the Maimer and said, okay, now what should I do? So you'd say to him, well, look, you're going to have to do Chalitza anyway. Do Chalitza to the one you just did Maimer to. Now, granted, you're going to have to give her a get, but you're going to disqualify her to Kohen.
But the context is that the Chalitza is a Chalitza Pesula, right?
Well, right.
And the Kitta Riyosi, that wasn't a
so the Pesula, right, so that the Gemara has two separate questions. One question was, is our Mishnah supporting Shmuel? And the second question is our Mishnah challenging Rav Yosef? So on both of those, the Gemara says, our Mishnah's not telling us what you should do. The Mishnah's just telling us what happens if you did. So it's not a proof to Shmuel, nor is it a challenge to Rav Yosef. Let's go on. Get lezu, the get lezu. He gave a get to one and a get to the other. Lema m'sayla l'rabba b'ravuna, dama rabba b'ravuna, chalitza psula, tzrich l'chazer, kol ha'achin. So our Mishnah would seem to be a proof for Rabba b'ravuna. Now, Ben, actually, when we did the Mishnah, you were arguing this point, and that is tzrichos. The Mishnah says they need chalitza. And I was arguing, no, only one chalitza. Well, the Gemara says, well, that's exactly the point. You can argue either way. So, tzrichos, tzrichos dama. Tzrichos doesn't mean they both need chalitza. Tzrichos means in cases like these, you need chalitza. But doesn't mean that you need two chalitzas. One chalitza would be enough. Get lezu v'chalas azu, lema mesayel l'shmul, v'tav v'tiufta d'rav Yosef, mikitani choletz, chalas ketani diavad. Again, the Gemara attempts to use the Mishnah as a platform to A, support Shmuel, and B, challenge Rav Yosef. And again, the Gemara's answer is no. The Mishnah is telling us what to do. Our Mishnah is just simply saying, here's what happened. Chalas v'chalas o chalas v'chule. V'lisinami ein achar b'yaklum. The Gemara sounds like it's repeating itself. But again, remember, the two halves of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah was a one yavam to one yavama. We're there at the look at the bottom of Nun Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah ends off with the words Enachar Chalitza Klum, and then the Mishnah on Amud Beis talks about where there are multiple either Yavamas or Yavamim, and the Mishnah there too ends off with the words Enachar Chalitza Klum. And again, the same question: why not say Enachar Bia Klum? Lema, sorry, but listen, Nami Ach Enachar Bia Klum. Abay Rav Adamar Tavayu Tani Enachar Bia Klum. Okay, so the Gemara's first answer is good. Put that into the Mishnah. Our Tana favors Chalitza over Yibum. Okay, reference to what I said earlier, maybe as a tip to the position of Abishal. It's derech la'ashmeinan. The ein kedushin tovsim b'chayv elavin. Do you remember? This goes all the way back to Daf Yud, where the Gemara over there had such a fundamental discussion in the world of both Yibum and Chalitza. But let's talk about Chalitza. No, not Yibam. Let's talk about Chalitza. Chalitza is done between one of the surviving brothers and one of the surviving widows. Okay. And what does that mean? It means that the brother is doing Chalitza to her, so that severs the Zika. Is he an emissary of all the other brothers in giving the Chalitza? And is she an emissary of all the other widows in terms of receiving Chalitza? And Rav Yochanan to that question says, absolutely, yes. That means, according to Rav Yochanan, that not only is the nature of the relationship between the two principal participants in the Chalitza are going to be Chalutz and Chalutza, but that means, according to Rav Yochanan, that every brother to every widow is also going to have that same kind of relationship, where it's no longer an Issar Kares, but rather the nature of the relationship totally changes to chalos and chalutza. Understood? That was Rav Yochanan's position going back to Daf Yud. I know that was a long time ago. Right, and now the nature of the relationship is a lav, not a karis. And that was a very fundamental discussion. That's something we should remember. Meaning, we're not going to remember every point in the Masechta, but that's something that's basic in terms of what Yibum, what happens in the world of Chalitza. So, the Gemara says, great. According to Rav Yochanan, I totally get it. In other words, the Mishnah is making a really an important point. I'm just going to reread that line. The inkedushin tovus and bechayv alavin. Good. So that there's no tfisus kedushin when it comes to alav. Ela l'reish lakish darma kula beisa bekaris kai. It's the rechlashmin, the inkedushin tovus and bechayv ekrisus, but according to reish lakish, where he does not view the principal participants as shlichim. So that means according to reish lakish, the chalos and the chalutza move from a karis to a lav. But everyone else still is in the world of karis. Okay. So that means that the one brother who didn't actually do chalitza is prohibited to this woman with an iser kares. If that's true, then what's the Mishnah telling us? That by an iser kares, there's no tfisas kedushin. We all knew that. There's no chiddush there. What's the point of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish will answer back very simply. You're bothered by the fact that there's no chiddush? Hey, let me show you an example in the Mishnah where there's absolutely no chiddush. Let's say the man does bia with his yavama. They're married. And let's say now another brother steps in and does bia with her. Okay? Correct. I didn't even have to make it that dramatic. Let's say another brother does mimer. Now what? She's married. Kiddushin doesn't work with a married woman. We all knew that. We all went into that Mishnah knowing that. Reish Lakish's argument is very simple. Again, I say it again and again, but it's true. The Mishnah is an algorithm. The Mishnah is just going over every scenario. And even though there are not chidushim, but the Mishnah will just simply exhaust every possibility. Ella, I did the Tana Ataras Yavamach, Vyavamach, Tananamish Yavamas Vyavamach. I did the Tanish Yavamim. I'm sorry, Yavamas Vyavamach, Tananamish Yavamas Vyavamach. The Mishnah is simply exhaustive. And so therefore, Reish Lakish's defense is very simple. The Mishnah does not have a chiddush contained at every point if the Mishnah is going to go over every permutation. Adkan, okay, we'll stop over here. Well, tomorrow we'll pick it up from the very top of the Amud. Almost finished with the Perek. Tomorrow, God willing, we will. Sixth Perek of the Yamal Vamas begins tomorrow. Exciting Perek, you'll see why.